It is surprisingly exhausting going through recovery. You would think that as you're increasing the amount of food you're eating, that you would have increased energy, but in the beginning, it's absolutely the reverse.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. All right, welcome to another episode of Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast. This is your host, Moira Gorski. Again, so happy that you are joining us today for another episode. And as I say all the time, this is another one of my favorite episodes where I get to bring you somebody that I've met along this journey, somebody that I just met recently, but we had this quick connection and she actually reached out and we both agreed to meet together and have coffee and get to know each other. And I'm certainly glad that I did because Kelly is a great gal who has a mobile massage business. And she also is now a chiropractor. And she's working to get certified as a certified eating disorder specialist in the chiropractic space. So didn't know that when I met her, but as we got to know each other, I learned that about her. And she has a story that I think is great to share. So I wanted to bring her on here today. So again, Kelly Dixon is here. Again, we met in networking in the suburbs of Chicago here. She lives in Aurora, Illinois. She is a chiropractor and a massage therapist. She has a wonderful mobile business where she can come to people's homes or place of business. She lives with a boyfriend and two cats. And welcome, Kelly.
Hello.
Hello. Glad you could join us today.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you started to share with me as we met together a little bit about your journey and your journey with, you know, with an eating disorder yourself. So can you share a little bit about, you know, about that, maybe about your kind of your upbringing or as I ask people kind of what got you to today?
Well, growing up, I was always a very picky eater. So I would say that I always had some disordered eating behaviors growing up, but it turned into a full-fledged eating disorder while I was in chiropractic school. It wasn't the best environment for somebody that tended that direction already. Everybody was kind of judgy about what foods others would eat. So it just kind of deteriorated once I hit school. And in 2016, while I was in school, I was also seeing a personal trainer, and he noticed a significant decrease in my energy when training. And so he was also a chiropractor, and he made me do a food journal, and then he sat me down, and he was like, look, you are not eating nearly enough. I can't train you anymore. You need to go get this issue addressed. So that's when I started my journey of recovery.
I think it's great. I think it's great when we have, you know, others that are kind of looking out for us, or and sometimes we don't even know that they're looking out for us. But actually, maybe I should have said, I really like when people are brave enough to speak up and say something, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have continued to train me and take my money as a personal trainer, but mm-hmm. he decided to fire me as a client so that I could take care of my health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that point, I was still absolutely in it. Like, I thought I was fine. I was eating healthy, but that was not the case. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a struggle to find healthcare practitioners that I needed at that point. There's not a whole lot of eating disorder care unless you're willing to pay privately or have really awesome insurance. And being a full-time grad student, I was on Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
I've eventually found a place out in Geneva that did family-based therapy for eating disorders and accepted Medicaid. So I started working with them.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about, for those that don't know, because I'm sure there are some listening that maybe haven't heard of that before, the family-based therapy. It isn't anything that I worked with our daughter, but I have heard about it and I've heard certainly good things about it. So can you explain a little bit what that means?
My experience with it was a little different than most people. It's definitely geared more towards children. And what they do is they take away all of the responsibility and work surrounding food from the children and give it to the parents or the caregiver so that the child has to focus only on eating, since that is typically physically and mentally exhausting for them when they're in the midst of their eating disorder. So for me, it looked a little different. Living with my boyfriend, he was the main support person that was going with me to these sessions. And he, on top of working his full-time job and taking care of himself, he had to take on grocery shopping, menu planning, food prep, and all of that. So definitely something that could put a strain on a romantic relationship.
Yeah, I would think so. I was going to say I'd say, how did that go? Or how is it going? And and he must be a great guy. He must really care for you a lot if he committed to doing that.
He is. It is stressful, and it's something we've had to work at to not have the relationship then shift into more of like a parent-child kind of dynamic with him taking the food responsibility. But we're managing, and I mean, he does his best, obviously. I can't give all of the responsibility to him because he does still have a full-time job and his own responsibilities, but it has definitely made it easier for me to concentrate on my recovery. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my family is very supportive as well. So my mom has gone with me to sessions and she does what she can because we spend a lot of time together. So
yeah, I was going to ask that if you, because I know, again, that family-based therapy is, again, usually around, you know, the whole family dynamic and kind of teaching, well, taking that control, right, away from the person in recovery, but also my understanding is really to help to teach the family, you know, how to support that person in food and just in recovery in general, right?
Absolutely. A lot of the times when I bring either my mom or my boyfriend to the session, it's brainstorming because you're not always there or your life has too many other obligations to add more to your plate. So it's things like, well, maybe we text and check in at mealtime and say, what are you eating? Or maybe when we're out shopping, we just stop to get food. We don't say like, oh, do you want to stop and get food? We just do it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So that's working pretty good so far.
It is. Some weeks I get in a little bit of a funk where I feel like it's not working well enough and I want it to progress faster. But then on weeks that I miss an appointment, either due to my schedule or my therapist's schedule, I definitely notice a little bit of a backslide. So it is working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And it's one of those things, as I've talked with many others, as well as you, I believe, you know, we wish we could say, okay, it's over, right? And then we can just go on to our normal life. But it really just isn't as easy as that. You know, it takes time. And, you know, I just respect the fact that you are, you know, you admit that you're in recovery right now and working on that. And you also are professional. I mean, you've gotten schooling, you now, and you run a business and you're still working hard on yourself getting better.
Yeah. I mean, like having the business kind of is a motivating factor because there's things that I want to do with that I know that I won't have the mental and physical capacity to do if I'm not following my recovery plan and eating my meals.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. How do you feel like your, or has your eating disorder had like an impact on your relationship with your mother? I like to always chat a little bit about that since I'm a mom with a daughter with an eating disorder. And I know that our relationship has changed a lot during these years.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I would say my mom is my best friend. She's always been a great advocate. And I know like throughout growing up, she would kind of do her mama bear thing when people would comment on what I was eating or my appearance. But through this process, it's kind of been revealed that she maybe has some eating disordered behaviors as well. And it's hard for her, I think, to not let that bleed over into her interactions with me. Things like saying, oh, I'm so proud you chose this over that, and really stuck in that dichotomy of this food is good and this food is bad, which with the family-based therapy, we're definitely trying to get away of from the good food versus bad food. All food is good food. It's been interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And, you know, I think that so many people have, they may not be, you know, diagnosed with an eating disorder, but I think just that disordered eating is, you know, I think there are so many that, if you will, live within that world. I think society is also, you know, partly to blame for that is just the pressures from society and the actors and actresses and just all the things that people say that we, the way that we should do things, the way we should look, the way we should eat. I think it leads us to many of us to some type of disordered eating.
Absolutely. And they started us out young, because I know when I was growing up, it was still the clean plate club where you had to eat everything on your plate. And from a healthy and intuitive eating perspective, that's so bad to force children to do that. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know back then.
No, we didn't know. I mean, that's the way I grew up. It was the clean plate club. You just finished what you're eating and you didn't question it. I mean, that's what, at least for me, speaking for myself, that's what I had to do. That's what I was expected to do.
And then the foods that people traditionally think of as bad, like the snack foods and the desserts, were like rewards for if you behaved or if you finished all your dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know. It's not a real good way of eating and living in this world. If we're supporting our health and just being happy about and being okay with what we're eating. I think it's that you said that intuitive eating, and I'd love to get an expert on here, you know, who really works with intuitive eating, because I think that's really what we all should be doing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Intuitive eating and being present when we're there and just enjoying what we're eating and not having that shame put around it or that pressure put around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say, I mean, do you feel like, has it been the family-based therapy, or what would you say has been just the thing that's really helped you the most in your recovery, or just kind of in your journey of continuing to get better and improve?
I think a large part of it is the amount of outrage I had at not being able to find a provider, because eating disorders are so prevalent, and it took me a good year before I could find a place to get treatment without having to pay out of pocket. So just I want to continue on and become that provider for somebody else.
Wow. Yeah. That's a long time. I didn't realize that it took you that long. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
There's probably many that would have given up and perhaps still struggling, you know, today. But
Yeah, that insurance piece is a killer. I mean, it was when I tried to go through my insurance to get a list of providers, it was like a 2-year waiting list to get in to see anybody.
Wow.
And it was just, I kept reaching out to different places in the area that I knew had eating disorder treatment, even though I couldn't afford to go there and my insurance wouldn't cover it, to ask them, like, do you guys know of anybody else? Mm-hmm. And it was Linden Oaks that actually referred me to the place in Geneva.
Hmm. Good. Yeah. Linden Oaks is a good, definitely has been a good resource for us in the past. And again, good for you, because again, I hear that so many times, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to start this podcast, is to just, because of what I've gone through, I wanted to try to help other people. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. You know,
Yeah. What
you've gone through, you really want to help those that perhaps are going through what have had or are having the same struggles, you know, financial, you know, emotional, that you're having, which is great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love to read. And so I always ask my listeners if they have any particular books that they enjoy, that have really helped them. Anything that you have to share in that regard?
Well, one of the books lately is Louise Hay's Heal Your Body. Mm. I actually printed out the two affirmations, one for low appetite and then one for anorexia that she had in that book. And I posted them on my refrigerator, above my desk, by my bed, and on my bathroom mirror. And I feel like that has helped so much.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said to someone else who I did an interview with, I think we have that book here, so I need to go find that, although it could be at my husband's office too, but she's been somebody that really, I think, showed it herself, that power of affirmations and, you know, speaking truth into you want what you want out of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also ask people, just to keep it a little light here, so are you a cat person or a dog person? And I do know the answer to that question, but just for our listeners, are you a cat or a dog? And then would you say you've learned any wisdom from whatever that animal is that you prefer?
So definitely a cat person. You might, if you listen really hard, actually be able to, somewhere in this podcast, have heard her because she was crying.
Mm-hmm.
But wisdom, I think one of the big lessons that I think the cats have had to teach me as I've gone through this recovery process is resting when you need it. It is surprisingly exhausting going through recovery. You would think that as you're increasing the amount of food you're eating, that you would have increased energy, but in the beginning, it's absolutely the reverse. You're mm-hmm. just tired and want to sleep all the time.
And cats do love to sleep.
They sure do. And they don't, like, they're not running around like, oh no, I have to play first. Nope. If they're tired, they just drop where they are and go to sleep.
Right. That's right. As do the dogs. Because in my my office where we're recording this, I've got both of the dogs sleeping away, and you may even hear them snoring. So that's cool. I see a picture of your cat. So I think... we can't have a cat in our house because there's too many allergies. And but I do, I love the dogs, but I do certainly like a cat here and there. Mm-hmm. So so as we wrap this up, I'm always grateful for those that come on and share and open up about their journey and their recovery and kind of what their purpose is now because of that. But where would our listeners find you if they wanted to reach out and for any of your services, or just kind of reach out and connect with you? Where would they find you?
You can find me on Facebook at Growing Wellness LLC. I also have a website, growingwellness.org, or they can reach out via phone or text at 630-618-2137.
Okay, excellent. We all look forward to, you know, we're recording this within this period of time where we all have to stay inside. So
yes.
We're all looking forward to a time that we can get back together face to face and again, open up our services and places of business. And like with yours, being able to go to people's homes,
yeah.
You know, we're looking forward to that hopefully ending real soon. But again, I love technology and how we can connect here. And again, we can continue to share these stories of hope and recovery and just connections. So thanks, Kelly. Any last words for people listening?
Just if you're struggling with recovery, just know that you're not alone and you will get through it. And I know that it's hard sometimes, but you just gotta keep with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent advice. So thanks, Kelly, for joining us. I really do appreciate it. And thanks again for listening, my audience there. I, again, are so grateful for you for coming back and listening to these podcasts and sharing them. I always say, if you like what you hear, please rate and review and share this podcast because just like Kelly said, I don't want anyone to feel like they're alone in this journey. And as we share and review and things like that, it really helps to get the word out of this hopeful podcast so that we can just kind of spread our wings a little bit more and help more people. So I appreciate that. Again, thanks for listening. And don't forget to visit my website. There's a couple of freebies over there, GorskyWellness.com. You'll find some boundary worksheets over there and lots of goodies. So again, thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much, and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you and take care.